Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight it's my pleasure to welcome back Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. She is an author, a past life connector, and a fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. Her books, The Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into Now, Life is Forever, Get Used to It, and the third one is The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. These will all assist you on the spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. Now, to schedule a past life exploration or learn more about her books, you can go to her website, which I'm going to give you, so get your pens and paper out. It's MaryLouMcIntyre.com, and let me spell that for you. It's MaryLouMcIntyre, MaryLouMcIntyre.com. So, let me welcome Dr. McIntyre. How are you doing tonight again?
Well, I am doing just great, getting weather ready for the hot, hot weather here in Arizona.
It's
getting hot, but that's okay. The world is warming up for us.
Yes, it is. That's for sure. God bless those that don't have a clue.
Yeah, really. Time to wake everybody up.
Yep.
World alarm going here.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, I thought that we might start off the evening talking a little bit about your first book, The Fast Road to Happiness, and then we'll take calls. So what would you like to say about the book, Dr. McIntyre?
Well, actually, David, I would like to start just by making an announcement that I'm really quite excited about. And, you know, I heal the phobias and fears and irrational behaviors through past life readings to cleanse the subconscious and past life traumas.
Yes.
You know, with an Akashic Record reading. And I always look forward, of course, to helping, those that have these problems. And the other day, last week, as a matter of fact, I was repeatedly getting the message that I should start doing regressions over the phone. I do past life readings, you know, from the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought I could do regressions over the phone because I never had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that blocks so many people from accomplishing things. Just because we've never done something before doesn't mean we can't do it.
That's right.
So, anyhow, finally, the opportunity came, and I asked this couple if they would, you know, be my guinea pigs. And so it was a couple, and they had a regression over the phone. I had met them personally once a week before that. But, you know, we weren't close friends or anything like that. So they called me, and I was able to lead them out of their body and, you know, beyond time and space, back to where they needed to go, which was a planet in another universe. That was pretty awesome. Anyhow, it worked. and they got the release. They were able to see the source of the problem that had been plaguing their marriage. And now that's all resolved because they left that planet and they left the problem there. So I'm very happy to announce for the first time, David, on your show, that I am available now to give past life regressions via the telephone to any individual or couples who would like to have a reading. And I have put on my website that you told them about how to contact me, and that the requested or suggested, gift or donation for that is $125 for a one-hour reading, and that would go through PayPal, of course. So anyhow, I just wanted to share that exciting news with you, that now it's not only past life readings, but regressions, which are an entirely different thing.
Well, why don't you let people know what the difference between the two is, because some people may not have a clue.
Alrighty. We all are made up of many different lifetimes and experiences. Hopefully you all, those that are listening, are aware that reincarnation is a reality of life and is the procedure through which we gain knowledge and growth and become more spiritually aware and in tune with divine essence. However, during these lifetimes, and each time we come back to learn more, we forget about previous lifetimes that enables us to be open to, you know, the new things that are going to be happening to us, and healing and completing the mission that we came to do. So like experiences and traumas and fears that we have in these past lives, are sometimes we like lock them in our subconscious and carry them with us on the subconscious level, lifetime after lifetime, until they can be addressed or released or overcome. And so when I reached out to the masters and those spirit guides that helped me to help me heal people that are not being healed by the medical profession, you know, the cut and sew and pills and all of that. And I was told at that time that 95% of people's problems are the result of a trauma or a fear that was established in a past life. And that just blew me away because I never wanted to know anything about past lives. Well, coping with this one, you know?
Right.
And so they said, and so, Mary Lou, we are going to teach you how to regress people. And, of course, it's just my nature. I said, well, I can't do that because I couldn't. I'd never heard of that. People didn't even talk about their dreams back in those days, David.
Right.
And they said, well, never mind. We'll teach you. And so, sure enough, that's what happened. I started going through regular series of physical exercise and meditation 4 times a day for an hour. And after 3 months, well, it was a long period of time. They did help me develop that ability to help people get out of their physical body and travel through time and space to another time and another place to heal a fear or a problem that they had. Okay, so I then used that ability to travel all over the world, giving group and individual and family regressions to people for the purpose of healing. And I did that for about 25 years. And then I was very fortunate to be able to retire. And I moved to Arizona. And after several years, I had, you know, no place to do any regressions. I just kind of retired and wrote my books that David spoke of that I'll get into in just a minute. And so with that, I started getting requests for readings, and I didn't know, you know, I didn't have an office or any place where people could come where I could serve them. And then I was talking, and I believe it might have been on your show, David, when somebody called in and said, I am having a terrible problem. Can you give me an Akashic reading? Can you give me a karmic reading so that I can get rid of this problem? And, of course, being me, I said, no, I don't think I can do that. I have never done that over the phone. And she just begged me, please try. And so I did. And sure enough, it worked. And I was able to tell her exactly what she needed to know to get rid of her problem. And so from that day on, I certainly put that on my website, that I was available to give past life readings. And that's where I got the nickname of Fear Buster, because I was able to help people break through fears, the source of which was unknown to them. You know, if you fall in the water and almost drown, do you remember that in your lifetime?
Oh, yeah.
If you have a fear of drowning and you never had a fall in the water, you never had an incident, you know, a trauma with water, where did that come from? And that's the kind of reading that I would give a person. I would tell them where the fear of water was initiated so they could open it up in their subconscious, take a look at it, and get rid of it so they would no longer have any fear. So that's the difference.
Okay, well, thank you for clarifying that. We do have callers on the line. Why don't we take the calls that we have? Then we'll talk about your book, and presumably there'll be more calls coming in. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful. Let's go to work.
Okay. Our first caller is Kimberly. And by the way, folks, in order for Dr. McIntyre to be able to work with you, you have to give her something that's been a stumbling block for you, a fear, a phobia, some repetitive problem that you can't seem to get past. In order for her to tap into the Akashic records and find the lifetime that that problem originated. So here's Kimberly. Kimberly, you're live.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Kimberly, I'm fine. What can I do for you?
Well, my question is about having a fear, sometimes a little doubt of not having enough. Like I'm getting ready to move to another state and I'm looking for another job, but sometimes I teeter, you know, through having faith and fear.
Having faith and fear about what?
About being taken care of. Am I going to get a job? I mean, I know I am, but sometimes I have a fear about it. Is that not good?
You have
question,
a fear. You have a fear of poverty. Is that it? Or
yes.
Or lack of accomplishment.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, you just take a deep breath and fill yourself with light, Kimberly. And let me see. I see you as an English doctor. They pulled your book. You know, your book of life off the shelf, I saw, and immediately turned to, it's like an office setting, and you're there. You're a man, a rather short man, a little heavy, a little on the heavy side, but very neatly dressed in brown tweed, with suede arms. I was trying to make it one word with Swede. Anyhow, you have a lot of books, but your office is rather depressing. It's all dark colors, and you have windows, but for the most part, you have shades or velvet curtains drawn across them. And I'm trying to see if they're going to tell me why that. Well, it's a thing about your personality. You like and actually need a lot of privacy. And in your particular business, that is not very fortunate because you have to work with people in order to create an income. And so that is a struggle for you. You became an attorney because your father insisted upon it. And your mother was incapable of, altering or helping you overcome the personality problem. So anyhow, here you are trying to survive. You're very intelligent, and you have a nice personality, but you are so reserved, it's almost painful for the people around you, to watch you try to be socialized or civilized or, whatever you want to call it back in the early 1800s. And you do survive, just barely, and sometimes you have to go home to mommy and daddy to get a handout because you're not making quite enough. And they even suggest that you try something different that will stimulate an income for you because you are, you're nice looking and you're intelligent. And but you don't because that the thought of that makes you nervous and scares you, and so you would rather go through the humiliation of having to ask your parents for money than reach out for a more compatible occupation for yourself. And so I don't know. It's almost like I can see you going through life and just kind of like withering up, like a leaf does on a tree in the fall when it's ready to drop off. That's kind of the way I say you become very brittle and very, very thin-skinned and more and more, well, you fall into becoming morose. And so, of course, you don't have a clientele, and you develop some kind of a it's like a glandular condition that it even affects your voice, and so you become poorer and poorer, and it comes to the point where you just go to bed and you pull the covers up over your head. And you just say, I'm not getting up anymore. I can't handle this life. I don't want to be here. I want to leave. And 3 days later, they find you in that bed, and you have left. And that's the thought in your consciousness as you leave, that you just can't handle life. It's too hard. People are too noisy. And all that grief, and you just take it with you. And that's what you have to get over in this present lifetime. You have to enjoy life, enjoy being, be positive, be friendly. Know that you have the right for a good income, and reach out to the universe to create that income. I love God, I serve humanity, and I have the right for financial substance. That's the affirmation to heal you, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Does that make any, does that make sense to you at on any level?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Take care. Let me know how it turns out.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. Okay, our next caller is Deanna. Deanna, you're live.
Am I? I didn't hear the kick.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Hello. How are you, Mary Lou?
I am.
I'm a little not entirely comfortable with past lives and regressions, although I believe in it, and I thought this was true since I read Casey at 17, and I believe in it.
I find it very logical.
What you could help me with, perhaps, is similar to what Kimberly was talking about. I seem to have the best opportunities and the best chances throughout my life, which is, you know, progressing towards old age now. And it's like a balloon pops. And everything, you know, that was almost there evaporates. So I wonder why this happens, if there was issues with being a victim or not being able to stand up or be less reserved, as you said with, you know, Kimberly before, and to just not withdraw and insulate.
Okay, so can you rephrase the question, please, in a, you know, a shorter way for me, please?
Not achieving success.
Not what?
Not achieving or attaining success.
Oh, and you don't know why that is? Is that the problem?
I would like to correct it. I would like to reach it.
Okay. Well, I think psychologically, you know, I just tell you, if you reach out for something, you just keep reaching for it until you accomplish it. And that doesn't have much to do with a fear or a problem that you're not aware of the source. It's the result of lack of focus or direction. And I didn't catch your name. Could you tell me your name?
I am Deanna. Yes, Mary Lou. Deanna.
Oh, yes. Deanna. Okay. Does what I just said make sense to you?
Well, I keep trying. I don't give up. But I still have not reached it, and I was wondering what the block is.
Okay. All right, let me see, Deanna.
Deanna.
Oh, you have a very big book that they're bringing in on a, like a wheelbarrow. It's very big. You've lived many, 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 many lifetimes, and you've had many successes as well as many failures. And you're here in this lifetime. Let me see if they'll tell me that. Yeah, you're here to find fulfillment because in a major number of your lifetimes, you have not been satisfied with yourself. Not necessarily whether you've accomplished anything or not, but with yourself. You don't feel, for some reason, that you're doing what you should. Like you're out of touch with your purpose for being. And you're trying, in this lifetime in particular, it's more than what your profession is. It's more what your spiritual nature is. Is that true? Hello?
I'm hearing you, and I'm trying to respond authentically.
Answer the question?
I guess partially, yes.
It's more of a concern for your spiritual nature that you feel like inadequate or incompleted?
I feel that there is no recognition, and I need that.
For you or for your accomplishments, or both?
Both.
Pardon?
Both.
Oh, okay. All right. I have no idea what your spiritual track or belief system is that, you know, if you meditate or not, but a problem that a huge number of people have is that they don't really like themselves. They don't realize they are likable people, that they are created in God's image, or they are created in divine image, and therefore can express divine things. And people just are not kind to themselves to begin with. So you have to learn that you are a good person. You have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn that there is nothing in this world to stop you from being exactly who you want to be. Did you follow that?
I understand what you're saying, but in retrospect, I do like myself. I would like others to like me as well.
And what makes you think they don't like you?
Actions. Word-wise, people always say, oh, I like you, but actions speak louder than words. And putting blocks on my way to achieve and not giving me sufficient credit is what I struggle with all the time. And it's been pretty much a lifelong challenge to me. And I don't know what in a previous lifetime may have brought me to the current one. And so
all right,
many...
I see a life showing me, Diana, they're showing me a lifetime in early Siam, which I believe it's Turkey now. I think they changed the name of it.
Thailand. Thailand.
Oh, it's Thailand? Thank you.
Yes.
I'm not a geography major. But this was early Siam when, gosh, it was just an age of gold. I mean, everything was just so beautiful and peaceful, and everybody was so happy, and it's just like the air was filled with music. And you were related. I think you were the nephew of the king. The king of Siam. You were the nephew. In other words, your mother was the king's sister. And your mother was rather a harsh woman and very demanding, and was always correcting you or saying that you shouldn't do that or that you can do that or don't do that. You know, there was always, putting it this way, there was never any real recognition of accomplishment of anything good that you had done. And you had, what they're showing me is that you had a deep love for some reason for archery. I don't know, I'm just telling you what I see. And you were very accomplished in that. And you went on tournaments. And you won many of them. But your mother would never go on any of them. And so you would, you know, just travel with the group without her. But then when you'd come back and you would show the award or the badge or whatever, she would never really respond properly. Like, you know, good for you, or, you know, I'm happy for you, or, you know, nothing like that. So you never got, other than from your fellow archers, any praise. And that affected you very, very deeply. And when your mother passed... Pardon?
I said I agree. And, you know, funny... But my name, Diana, is actually the goddess of the hunt, the one that carries the arch and the arrows.
How about that? Well, so we're on the right track now, Diana. And
yeah.
I think what you have to do is take a look at your accomplishments, the things that you know that you have accomplished, and decide what else you want to accomplish. And if people criticize you and it's an unreasonable criticism, ignore it. You know, just move away from that person. And just give yourself credit. Go within and learn to love yourself so that you can better love others and they will love you back. And that's the suggestion I get. So there's a lot of meditation or confirmation about yourself that's involved and the knowledge that you can achieve whatever you want. Okay?
I tend to agree with you. My mother was a wonderful person, but praise is not something that she gave. She always tried to correct me to do the right thing. So I can see with, you know, that what you're saying has a lot of, as a big ring of truth.
And that's
Thank
in
you.
This lifetime. Right. God
yeah.
bless you.
Yeah.
All right, Diana. Take good care, hon.
You too, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you, darling.
Bye.
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 Okay, our next caller is from area code 917. What is your name, please?
Oh, hello, David. This is Ellen. How are you, and how's Marilyn?
Hi, Ellen. I'm doing okay. How about you?
Just okay, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hello, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Ellen. Pleased to talk to you.
Pleased to talk to you. And can you give me some insight on what past life is connected with what's going on in my life right now?
Well, if you give me a clue as to what is going on.
I'm in a transition phase, and it seems like where I'm living is changing. I'm coming back into contact with folks I've had little contact with in the last couple of years. Is that enough information?
No.
Maybe if I...
wait a minute. I'll tell you more what I'm looking for. Is there anything that's disturbing in your behavior or, you know, like fears or phobias that are plaguing you at this time and you don't understand what's causing them?
Ooh,
or is
and
it
phobia.
A change in lifestyle?
I can't identify a fear or phobia. I guess I was concerned about my interacting with certain people and wondering whether they played a role in a past life.
Well, so general, you see, that's so general that it would probably take a week and a half to cover it.
Oh.
I'm just teasing, but we can't just go by general information or you know, general curiosity.
No, that's okay, then. Let me say thank you so much, Dr. McIntyre, and I'll just listen to the program.
Okay, thank you, hon, and I'd suggest you go to my website, and maybe some of the books that I've written might be of interest to you and helpful.
Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. God bless you.
Take care, Ellen.
You too, David.
Thank you. Okay, our next caller is from area code 203, and just to let people know up front what Dr. McIntyre really needs in order to go to the Book of Life to find the healing that you may need in this life is some fear or phobia that you have that doesn't make any sense to you. Area code 203, what is your name, please?
Hi, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Well, my big fear is fear of heights, for sure. Fear of falling off a cliff, any high road.
Okay, and you have no recollection of a major fall in your present lifetime?
No, not at all.
Okay. The fear of heights, you mean going upstairs or going up in an elevator or, you know, how powerful is this?
It's any height more than like two stories high. But a road, you know, like when I travel on roads and I drive, anything high at all is just almost impossible for me.
Okay, I need an explanation. You say anything high in an auto?
And when I'm driving?
Well, that's
anything,
on the road.
Anything high. Yeah, anything high at all. I said, anything high at all, more than two stories high.
I see. Okay. Well, golly, I do see a huge area. It's in Egypt, and there's the word, well, that they're building pyramids, of course, and a lot of escalation is going on. There's pyramids going up. There's ropes that the builders are having to climb and guide the huge blocks as they come near. I'm having trouble verbalizing this because it's really so very strenuous, and I'm asked to let you know that what I can do for you, dear, is like open the door to this lifetime and this source of fear, and then you have to work on the rest by realizing that you're not going to be building any pyramids at all in this lifetime. Can you do that?
Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that's really how easy it is if you will just allow it. But the fear, you were a dearly beloved supervisor, an elderly man in a royalty lineage, but you wanted to help build these pyramids because it was your expression of loving God and loving your country. So it was a combination of all different kinds of things that inspired you to be, well, I don't want to say boss, but like the leader of the construction of this one. I keep getting the word elevator keeps coming into my mind, and I think that was it. He was in the this was your uncle now is in the process. Isn't that what I said? He's your uncle. Yeah, of creating something new in the pyramids. It's coming now. And he had to get permission from the king to conscript special builders and special equipment and material to try this. He wanted to experiment with a lift that would go from the entrance of the pyramid to the top of the pyramid, where he wanted the body of the pharaoh placed upon his death, rather than inside the pyramid. He wanted them to be able to raise the body up to the top, and then he had a special plan, a special diagram all drawn out for the way the top of the pyramid would look, and they were going to be very, very unique. And so you were very, very smart and very enthusiastic and excited about this project that was going to be so new and make history and that type of thing. So you were like his right side, or his right hand, I guess is saying. And you were working on this, and it was working. And you had been able to design, so the lift, they got it like a third of the way up, and then they had to figure out how they could condense the size so that it could rise the rest of the way without getting crushed, of course. And so that was a bit of a dilemma. But in your brilliance, you designed something that you thought would work, and that as the pressure from the outside hit this carriage, it would move the walls inward, you know, so it would condense itself as the pressure from the outside pushed against it. And uh-huh. And you get the picture, don't you?
I'm trying to.
Well, it's never been done, so I can see it, and I mean, I can imagine, and so you have to do the same because it was your pattern. But no, you were very brilliant, and and you, of course, wanted to test it because you felt, you know, if there was something wrong with it, you didn't want anybody else hurt. That was the kind of person you were, and the kind of person that you still are, I'm hearing. So, anyhow, what happened was it hit a trigger, or it hit something that not only caused it to condense in size, but also to tilt, and then the underpinnings started crumbling. And so you plunged to the bottom of the pyramid within all this rubble. And some of it, like, literally went through you. And it was a horrendous way to go. And as you went, you thought, Boy, that was not a good idea. I'm not trying to get high any more ever. And you put that in your consciousness. Well, you put it in your subconscious and carried it with you. So now all you have to do is with the same brilliance that you used to create that character, know that you're never going to be in a situation like that again. You are not going to be creating any lifts. You're not going to be building any pyramids or around any pyramids. And if you do go to Egypt, you're not going to go into any pyramids, right?
I'll make sure I don't.
Well, that would be very interesting. It would be. And maybe something more, you know, who knows? Maybe you can still come up with an incredible ease of transportation or something, because you do have the ability. You're a very unique person, I'm getting. And do you realize that? What?
Yeah. Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Good. And so that's it. That's all you have to do, my darling, is just to say, that was a terrible mistake, and I'm sorry it happened, but now I'm healthy and whole, and this will never, that will never happen again. I will never fall again. You got that?
Okay.
And you just keep telling yourself that. And you keep, then you start going upstairs to get to, you know, the second level and then the third level. And then in time, you'll be able to take an elevator. They still have elevators, and you'll be able to take one, and you will be over it. But you have to convince yourself, because you've convinced yourself that, you know, that you're apt to fall. If you're not careful, you're apt to fall. Well, that isn't true. Well, of course, that is true. You can trip over your own feet. But this is far more serious in your nature, and you just have to realize that that's never going to happen again. Stop worrying about it, okay?
Okay. I'll go with that.
Okay, God bless you, son. Good luck.
All right, Michelle, God bless. Take
you
care.
Too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. All right, we have another call, and I'm not sure if this was Ellen or if this is somebody else, so let me check it out. Area code 916, who is this, please?
Hello, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, David. Thank you. And hello, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Yes, my question is, I've always had a fear of fire and being burned by fire, and I'm so heat sensitive that even if I touch something that's warm to most people, it feels burning hot to me. And I also smell smoke a mile away, so I'm also sensitive to smell of smoke, and I was curious if there was a lifetime of something to do with that.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you smell smoke, is there really smoke?
Yes, there is. I can smell it a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's not your imagination.
No, it's not my imagination.
Okay. Actually, what I'm getting is that this was the lifetime. What was your name again?
Nancy.
Nancy, right. I just want to make sure I got the right picture here. This was the lifetime just before this one, Nancy.
Oh.
And it was like, I'd say, let me see, maybe the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your family had just come across country. Oh, you were in the gold rush. There you go. You were in the gold rush, and you ended up in a little shacky town in California, in the mountains, of course, because that's where the gold mines were. And you were a young girl, I'd say maybe about 7, 8 years old, and you had a couple of older brothers and a younger sister. Excuse me. And a father that was very gruff, but hardly ever there because he was out digging in the mines. And a mother that she was kind of flighty. She didn't really like being there. You lived in a very small wooden, I guess you'd call it a house. There were no partitions. You know, it was almost like a small barn, I mean, because there were no rooms, really. And you had sleeping facilities, you know, right on the floor. But you were happy, and as kids, you know, you laughed and played, and your mother just kind of sat around and drank coffee or lemonade or, you know, didn't do much of anything, didn't clean house hardly at all. I had you clean sometimes, you know, that kind. That's why it was a happy life for you, because you could just pretty much do anything you wanted to do. And but it was you were living on what the family had been able to gather together and save for this trip, figuring that, you know, within just a few months you were going to hit it big. So you didn't have an awful lot of money. But you started a garden, and, you know, it was all very lovely. And one night, let's see, your older brother, he snuck out, and he was smoking a cigarette. And he snuck out because he didn't want his family to know that he was smoking a cigarette. And so what he did when he was through smoking it, he put it out on the house, on the outside of the house, at the corner. It was like a corner beam, I see. And he stuck it way in so nobody could see it before it had actually gone way out. And that's what happened. It smoldered in there and smoldered and smoldered. And then it just erupted. And, of course, that's the corner where you were sleeping.
Of course.
And so you were burned in the fire. Mm-hmm. And your mother, the whole family, you know, tried to save you. They were able to pull you out, but you were in flames by then. They were able to pull you out. You were very badly damaged. And, your mother was hysterical. She just couldn't get over it. And and that's what happened. You really, you survived for a couple of days, but you were bad. You were badly burned. And you passed as a result of that. But you were in agony for 2 or 3 days before. You know, it was a terrible way to go. And that fear the physical pain, it was so imbued within you, you know, that when you actually passed, you took a lot of that with you. It was cleared out, of course, as soon as you got to the other side. But as you were leaving your body, you know, you realized you were glad that you were leaving the body because you were in such pain. Even as a little girl, you realized that was not right to have to be in that kind of pain. And so so that's what was burned, literally burned into you, into your subconscious, was the fear of fire and the pain. So the recommendation, now, do you feel the fear,
yes,
the horror of the whole thing. Yeah.
Right, and I can sense, yeah, and I live in California now, in a place that's near gold country, so I can see that too.
No kidding, yeah. Well, I
no
hope
kidding.
You don't sleep in a corner of a wooden house.
No, I don't.
If you said that, I was going to hang up. No, but just remember that was a horrific incident, a horrific thing. And your mother, the person that was your mother, still suffers from that, wherever she is. I don't know where she, you know, or anything about that. But that's what I'm getting, that your mother of that time. Oh, God. Wait a minute. Let's see. They're going into that a little bit without you having asked. And that is somebody in your family.
Oh.
So they're going to leave that up to you to meditate on, because it will help you to explode the karma. Oh, I know who it was. It was your brother. It was the brother that caught the fire, is now a member of your present family.
Oh, okay.
So, but they're telling me to shut up. They don't want me to tell you anymore. And realize that he was just a stupid little kid that didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
And if you do figure it out who it was in this lifetime, forgive him. You know, within your
heart. Oh, I definitely will.
Forgive him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes.
And know that he came back because he was sorry for what happened, and he came back to help you. So it's probably somebody in your family that's very close and helpful to you. So that's a very interesting story. That would make a wonderful book. You could write a book about it. So God bless you, hon. Just know, now that you're healed, you are healed. Nothing drastic like that is going to happen to you. Okay?
Oh.
It was an old fire. It's gone. It's out. Know that. Okay?
Okay, thank
you
so much. God bless you.
You're welcome.
God bless. Let's see. Take care. Well, Dr. McIntyre, we've come almost to the end of the hour. There is one more caller. Do you want to take the call?
Sure.
Okay.
I will, of course.
All right. This is area code 504. What is your name, please?
Hi, Debbie. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome, Debbie.
I am having some past life issues. Well, twice in a day, my blog has to do with my past life as far as moving forward. So I was so excited when I just saw, you know, you on the show. And I was wondering if you could help me with this block.
What is the block?
They said it's something that hinders me from succeeding.
Wait, who is they? Who is they?
One was a meditator. I went to her book signing. It's a friend. She wrote a book, and I just went, and I said that the energy that came through after a storm was heavy. And she was looking at me, and she just said, you need to do some past life work. And I'm like, I thought I cleared that up. And then I saw somebody else, and they said, you need to do some past life work. And I was like, geez, two in one day. And I don't understand what this is hindering my success in life or moving forward.
Are they going to cut us off, David?
No, it just means that no new callers will get to call in and within the next 30 seconds. We'll still be on the air. Will still be live, and it will still be recorded.
Okay. If you don't know why that was suggested to you, I certainly am not in a position to know either.
No,
so,
I mean, I know I have a lot of jealousy in business. I have a hard time finding I have a partner, but it'll only go so far. It's like some kind of either fear of success. And my mother believes, and she's a sensitive person, that I was one of the Romanovs, which you know, the Russian girls, which, I mean, everybody thinks
okay,
they're a princess in another.
Short. Let's keep it short.
Okay. But that's it. So to narrow it down, that's why I say that. It's got to be
what,
moving
jealous
forward.
Of your partner? Are you jealous
yes.
of your working partner?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hello? No, I didn't.
She said,
are you jealous of your working partner? Is that the problem?
I don't like her. She's bipolar, and she's like...
are you
like,
jealous
no,
of her?
I'm not. No.
You just don't like her?
No. Yes, I don't like her.
Okay. One thing I would like to know, just for myself, you don't have to answer it, but why is she your partner if you do not like her?
I'm looking for a job, but I seem to get the same person.
Listen, please.
Okay.
It's very hard for me to determine something like that without, going into both of your past lives to find out why you're even together, you know?
Okay, right.
Unless you can spread a little more light on, is she the only person that you're working with or that you dislike?
I have four people I work with. She is the manager and the only one I don't like. Yes. I mean, I like her, but I don't like having to put up with all her mental disabilities. It seems like I've to pull somebody everywhere
yeah, well,
I go.
Well, you know what I say? I say, welcome to life. Because
oh, yeah,
we all
I guess
run
right.
into and if it is, you know, sometimes, my darling, you have to put up with stuff like that in order to survive in the, you know, the work market. But if I were you, I would avoid, because I'll tell you, what I'm getting is something very unusual. My little guide has like a fancy little fan, and he's just sitting there fanning himself. In other words,
wow.
Don't let it bother you. That's
okay.
What I'm getting. That's your message. Don't let her bother you. Just, you know,
okay.
Stay away and just, you know, brush her off.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I hope that helps. Sometimes just knowing that somebody is going to irritate you, you can build up, you know, like protect yourself in light, surround yourself in light before you have to get together with her, that kind of thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
Be prepared. You'll be annoyed, so you won't be annoyed.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay. I do. I appreciate that.
Okay, good. And then when people tell you to check out, it's very strange that people have told you to check out past lives, and I don't know if you meditate. You might be interested in checking out my book, Fast Road
okay.
to Happiness. It's about past life regressions that I've given, and
okay.
Now I can even give regressions over the phone. So if you want
okay.
to go to my website, which is www.marilumcintyre.com, and
okay.
that'll tell you how you can book a regression or get a book or, you know, anything that I can help you do will be explained there. In my
okay.
website, and for everybody else, this is something new, the being able to give regressions in addition to reading past lives from the Akashic Records. I can take a person out of their body, back in time and space, to a place that caused the trauma.
Okay.
And so it's not my reading, it's their trip for healing. So you might check that out and see where we can go from there for you.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it could be, you know, spirit works in interesting ways to get things done for you.
True, very true.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks
too.
For calling, Debbie. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, one other person snuck in under the wire, Dr. McIntyre. Do you want to take the call?
Okay, it's up to you, David. It's your show. I'm here, so I'll take this one, but no more.
Okay. Well, just to let the caller know, Dr. McIntyre, in order to open the Akashic Records, needs to know some fear or phobia that you have in order to go to the lifetime that caused that to be cemented into your consciousness. So I'm going to area code 952. What is your name, please?
Hi, this is Ali.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Ali. Yeah, Ali.
Well, I'm not quite getting that, but welcome
Ali,
to the show.
Ali.
Can you
hear me?
Yes, yes. Spell your name, honey.
A-L-I, Ali.
Ali?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ali, okay.
Hi, Ali.
Yeah, hi.
What
How are
I
you?
Fine. What can I do for you?
Nothing. Like, right now, two things are on my mind. I want to, like, have my second baby, I have a fear of going for a treatment. So that is what's going on in my mind. Like, why that fear? And I felt like, okay, not going for treatment. And also to take a decision, I have this fear kind of thing. For example, like anything like buying a home or going for a treatment kind of thing. So that's what I want to know, like why this fear or something. Like, I don't know, like everybody will have or think a lot, but this is these are the two things, like, I have this, like.
Okay, Ali, I'm very sorry, but I think it's because of your accent that it's a little difficult for me to understand what you, can you simply restate the fear that you have that you want me to work with?
I have a little fear around, like, taking a decision or, like, going for a treatment for my second kid. So I have a little fear of, like, medical treatment or something kind of thing.
Yes, fear of going for treatment for her second child. Is that what you're saying, Ali?
Yeah, to get pregnant.
To get what?
Yes, pregnancy. To going for a treatment for my second pregnancy. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
She has fear of going for treatment for her second pregnancy.
And you are mm-hmm. pregnant now?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
We don't understand the question then, obviously.
I mean, not pregnant
now. What is
your
fear?
I have a one kid already.
You have what?
I have my first kid who is 10 years old. I want, for my second pregnancy, I have this fear of going for a treatment.
In other words, you're concerned about having treatment when you become pregnant again?
Yeah, to become pregnant for going for a treatment, yes.
You're talking about going to the doctor to get pregnant.
Yeah, like fertility treatments, you can say, fertility.
Oh, okay.
Treatments.
Okay, now I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if you have that fear, I wouldn't go. find another doctor. I don't know that there's any past life thing unless it would be connected mm-hmm. with the doctor, and the easiest way to solve that is to go to another doctor. Why would you
okay.
go to this one doctor that causes fear?
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, good thing. Like, yeah, I have to try another doctor. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't find mm-hmm. one, maybe you're not supposed to have another baby, but certainly don't go to a doctor that scares you. Absolutely not.
Oh, okay, okay. Good, good. Good thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm glad I was able to help you. That was very simple. You take
yeah,
care
yeah,
of yourself,
lady.
Sweetie.
Okay,
thank
Allie.
You.
Have a good night. God bless you, darling.
Yeah, you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Well, we didn't get to talk about your book tonight, but we can do that the next time.
All righty. Let's do that.
All right. Well, it's been a great show. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Oh, you're sure welcome, David. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. So once again, we come to a close. Let's take time to pause and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night and God bless.